is an encounter with God's word that guarantees a life of dominion. Join Pastor Stephen Enoko, lead pastor, Love Embassy Church, as he brings the message of the kingdom with all simplicity, authority, and power. God bless you as you listen.
Let there be light. Open the eyes of the blind. Purify our hearts in your fire. Breathe in the sweet breath.
Praise God. So today we want to look at career and finances. On Thursday, we were able to look at purpose and life's mission. Yesterday, we were able to look at life mission and career. So today, we're going to be looking at career and finances. Now, if you have followed very well, you will realize that what I'm trying to do is to make sure everything is connected. Praise God. So that we will be able to flow along that line even in our personal development. These are essential areas. They connect. They must not be separated. Is that okay? Amen. So yesterday, I was able to explain to us how we can adopt God's purpose into the scheme of our living. How we can adopt what God wants to do to become the attention of our life. That's what he actually wants. God wants you to live your life to do his will. Praise God. So living your life to do the will of God is what we call one's life's mission. Amen. Because there is a specific assignment that God has graced you to accomplish. So I now went on to say that having known what God wants to do and adopted it as the theme of your life, it must lead to two things. Number one, it must allow you to have what we call a personal ministry. And out of it, you can also have a personal career. A career. Amen. And I was able to explain that ministry is serving God before men. So if it is ministry, it is God to men. Amen. For example, you don't go to your job and serve tongues to your boss. Is that what you do? Or you go to your office and serve Matthew or Ephesians, revelation knowledge to your boss. Praise God. You know, just imagine your boss comes and says, you see that project we want to do next year, that we need to get some funds and get some new staff. And then you tell your boss, sir, can we just pray Ephesians 1:18? Can we just ask that the Lord will give you wisdom and revelation? Praise God. Especially if your boss is not a Christian. Hallelujah. He will be wondering, or you just tell him that, okay, just let's just check what Daniel 11 says. But if someone comes to you in your house or in the office and says, sir, I'm having challenge understanding. I realize that I read, I don't understand. You can tell the person, can we just pray? Now, that's you serving God's purpose to that person. Because the Bible says, I have come that they may have what? Life. So people come to you to receive life. That's personal ministry. Are you getting it? But your boss in the office relies on you to solve his problems, office problems. And you do that through your understanding of the concept and also through the wisdom of God in your life. Though it's the wisdom of God in your life, but this time around, it will be the what? The application. It is the application you will now serve to him. So serving the application of God's love in your life, serving the application of God's purpose in your life, which are through your skills, your talents, your abilities, and all of those, can be referred to as what? Your career. But this time around, you are solving direct life's problem. Praise God. But if you are going to be solving direct spiritual problem, You're going to be bringing knowledge. You're going to bring eternal life. You're going to bring the gospel. You're going to bring edification. That's a personal word, ministry. So a believer must have a combination of the two. Praise God. A believer must have a combination of the two. You must have a personal ministry and you must have a what? A career. Praise God. Why? Because your personal ministry, you are not going to be earning money from it. Fine, you can, if for example, you are into counseling, you do a counseling section and somebody might just look at you and say, okay, sir, take. But that's not going to be like the perfect way. Especially if you are not into fivefold, if you are not a minister that is called into fivefold. Like I told you yesterday, the Lord ordained it that those people that serve the altar will also be what? Fed by the altar. But for us who have more like not a full-time, like I'll explain that later. I was trying to explain to someone yesterday evening that the idea behind full-time is not because everybody that God called must not have a work, a job. No, the idea behind full-time is there are times God wants you to give full attention to the assignment he has given to you, meaning that he doesn't want you to combine it with any other vocation. Are you understanding my point? And don't forget that all of this boils down on time. Time. For example, if the scope of people that God has called you to minister to, they are much, and you also attending to a career, that career will demand time from you. And when we are talking about career, I always mention something. I say we are not talking about job. You may have a job and your job may not be a career. Career is that thing you have chosen to do for the rest of your life, out of which you will not earn income. But it is not only income. The dictionary definition of career is the sum total of all paid and unpaid job. So you can have a career for something that you will not be paid. Like people that are into NGO. But they get money. People support them. They get what we call funds. People give them money. But it's not like they are the ones that are working to get the money. People give them money. So you must understand that a career is what you have committed yourself to do for the rest of your life, through which you are going to be providing what? Solutions and solving problems. Praise God. That's the idea behind a career. The idea behind a career is that there is a problem and you have a gift or a skill that can what? Solve the problem. And you have made up your mind to do it for the rest of your life, as it were, active service. So, when we're talking about career, let me give you an example. For example, we can have a career in politics. You can have a career in medicine. You can have a career in sports. Like he was talking about, he said he was playing football all along the streets of Lagos. Praise God. And I'm sure they would have broken one of his legs. Or that he realized that all the people that were playing with him, they were better than him. You know, it's competitive. One thing about career is competitive. Because the idea behind career is to solve problems. So if there's somebody that is solving the problem better than you, doing it more efficiently, doing it even cost effectively, nobody will engage you. No, that's the idea behind career. Career is competitive. Do you understand? Career is what? Is competitive. That's why you have to be at your best to get a career. So if career is competitive and God is telling me, see, I have called you to minister to my people, and then I am not seeing a career in politics, question, which of them will suffer? Two of them will suffer. Because I will be sharing my time between what? Ministry and politics. And don't forget what I said. Career is what? Is competitive. So in order for me to get to the height I want to get to in politics, I would compromise my ministry time. And sometimes I may even compromise my ministry value. Not all the time though. That does not mean that somebody who is called into ministry will not be involved in government. But sometimes the person can be involved in government, but not having a career in what? in politics, because the idea behind politics is contesting and winning elections. Do you understand? Do you understand? So there is a difference between government and what? And politics. You can be in government and not be in what? In politics. But you cannot be in politics and not be in government. Is that okay? So what we are saying is that God can actually give people grace or gift or talent in what? In politics. But if God gives you a calling in his house, in a specific calling to ministry, it can, though some people say that you can have a calling to government and all those, it's possible. I'm not doubting it. But what I'm trying to tell you is that out of your life's mission, you must be clear whether God wants you to combine it with an active career or God wants you to do it full time. That full time does not really mean that you are not working. Do you understand? But that full time means that you don't have another active what? Career. For example, you can be doing business or have a farm, even though you are full time. Like some of the full time ministers you know of, some of them have schools, some of them have businesses. But the fact is that they are not actively what? Into it. They set it up and it's a system. They have people that are what? Attending to it. While they themselves attend to what? The ministry. Like what happened in that Acts chapter 6. Is it that they were not sharing food? They were sharing food. But the apostle said, we cannot leave our primary what? Calling and be serving food. So let us appoint people that will do the what? Food serving. Those people will still report to them. The same thing with your life's mission. Is that okay? So it's important for you to understand that balance. So one of the questions I want to ask is, why do people struggle to pursue and fulfill their life's mission? Why do people struggle to pursue and fulfill their life's mission? Why do people struggle to pursue and fulfill their life mission? Please write that down. Why do people struggle? As I've already established that it is in the place of your life's mission, there is provision. You are at your best there, because that's where the gift and graces God has placed in your life at work and all those things. There are a lot of benefits that come with fulfilling life's mission. But why do people struggle to fulfill their life's mission? Hallelujah. I wrote two major reasons down. Because of time, I would have really wanted to take some responses from us, but because of time, we have so much we're going to be doing this morning. So let me just, I was able to establish two major reasons. They are the major reasons people struggle to fulfill their life's mission. Number one, lack of accurate understanding of God, his intent, and his principles. That's number one. Lack of accurate understanding of God, his intent, and his principles. That's the number one reason people struggle to fulfill their life mission. And if you have followed me from the beginning, the reason is not far-fetched. What is the reason? Every purpose has its roots in who? In God. Every accomplishment has its roots in what God wants done. Like I gave you that illustration the other day. I was telling you that, for example, I'm at home and maybe I had an issue with my leg. And then I call Minister Shibi came now. And I tell him, please go and meet Pastor Titi. She's into physiotherapy. Bring her so that she can come and attend to my what? My leg. Number one, my intent is that she would attend to my what? My leg. The work is that he will go and bring her. So he now went there, and then as he was coming, he now saw like 8 members of the church stranded at Wode, and they really need to just leave that place. And then he put 7 into the car and realized that there is no space for the last person. He now tells her that, "Please, ma, please, come down. Let me put the 8th person." So he now carried all of them and brought them to the house. Question: would he has fulfilled my purpose for giving him the car? No. You understand? He actually has done well. Do you understand? There is a difference between doing well and well done. Do you understand? He has done well, but he has not well done. Because the only time I would tell him well done is if I see the physiotherapist that needs to attend to my leg. So you must understand that life begins with God. So whatever you want to achieve in this life, there is nothing wrong in building houses. There is nothing wrong in having children. There is nothing wrong in building a career. There is nothing wrong in solving problems. But what will be wrong is that if you end up solving problems, that is not the very problem you were created to solve. The one that gave you life will not tell you well done. That was what happened to that third servant. He said, "Master, I realize that you are very smart." In Luke chapter 19, is it verse 15 or thereabout? He said, "I realize that you are very smart." Verse 18, let's check for it. He said, "I realize you are very smart. You like to reap from where you did not what? You did not sow. So I took your pounds and I hid it." Now, it means that he left what he was supposed to do. Is that okay? He left what he was what? Supposed to do, and went about doing other things. No, that's the summary of that parable. So picture your life. Are you doing the very one thing you are supposed to be doing? Or you are busy doing every other thing? So the master will call one day and say, "What's your name?" "Huh? Toba, what did you do with the life I gave you? I gave you gifts. I gave you an assignment. What did you do with it?" So, one of the reasons why people are struggling to do that thing God wants them to do is that, number one, they don't know God. Number two, they don't know what God even wants done. And then number three, they don't know how God wants it done. That's the number one problem. That's the number one reason people struggle. So, it means that if you really want to fulfill your life's mission, number one, seek to know God. Number two, understand his intent. And then number three, learn his principle. Learn his principle. So knowledge, understanding, and learning. That is the foundation of fulfillment. Knowledge, know God. Understanding, understand what he wants done. And then the last one is what? Learning principles. That's why he called us. Is that okay? So please, regardless of where you are right now, in case you are not very clear about what God really wants you to do, you don't have the understanding, it is not too late. Like I told you on Thursday, it is a journey. Make up your mind to embark on that journey. Live your life and do that one thing that God has called you to do. When he returns. Some people will say, "Sir, you know, life is full of struggles." Like this parable, the Bible says the people they were supposed to lead said, "We will not have you lead over us." That's not your business. Just be faithful in your place of what? Assignment. Be faithful there. Say it with me, "I will be faithful." And your first measure of faithfulness is your relationship with who? With God. Be faithful to your relationship with God. And then number two, understand his what? His intent. Understand it. What is his intent? He wants his love to fill the earth. He wants people to be saved. He wants people to feel his love. So you walking in hatred, walking in malice, you being stingy, you are not fulfilling purpose. Because his purpose is tied to love. God's purpose is tied to what? Love. Please, if you didn't remember any purpose that God has ordained you to live, he wants you to walk in love. So when you develop your life to walk in love, you will fulfill his purpose. And then he lastly wants you to learn his principle. That is number one. lack of accurate understanding of God, His intent, and His principle. The number two reason people struggle to fulfill their life's mission, and that's what I want to attempt to just answer, is lack of commitment and devotion to their life's mission. Do you understand? You know, number one problem has to do with knowledge, understanding, and training. The number two is now the doing of the thing. Lack of commitment. Lack of commitment and devotion to their life's mission. Did you get that? Lack of what? Commitment. You know, sir, you'll agree with me that it's not everybody that don't know what they are to do. At least from your experience as a mentor, you would have noticed people, they even know more than you. Some, they discovered, I've spoken with some people that when they discovered their own life's mission, even myself, I wonder if I've started speaking in tongues by then. But then when you look at their life, nothing. So it's not that they don't know. In fact, they have relationship with God. They can pray in tongues for 2-3 hours. But the truth is, there is no commitment to what God wants them to do. Those are the kind of people called poor, called busybody. We have many of them on Facebook. Busybody. They are not doing anything meaningful. They are only condemning, criticizing, lambasting what others are doing. Perhaps that's their life's mission. Who knows? And the funniest part of it is this. Look up, everybody. If you live your life to fulfill mission, your eye will be so straight. You will not even know when some things are happening. You know, some people, they are so trendy, every trend. Sometimes it's we that will be asking, what is this thing even? What is this thing that is happening? Praise God. I was sharing sometime here, I said, there are times people even leave my compound that they even know they have left. It's not that I'm not caring. You see, there is a way you will so live your life. You don't even know what's happening. Sometimes my wife will tell me at home that her, say you heard what happened in Poli. I said, me, I just come in, do my work, I go out. Praise God. My life is so straight. You can predict it. Amen. No, that's how it should be. Because you know where you are what? You are going. You are a man on a mission. Say it with me, I'm a man on a mission. So you need what? Commitment. And you need what? Devotion. Praise God. So please, for talking about commitment, that's when you need to adopt the personal ministry. And for you to be committed, one of the first places your commitment will be tested is in your local church. The local church is a place of training for ministry. So the local church will give you opportunity. Like in the local church here in KDC, what we try to do is to make sure everybody find their gifts, find what God wants them to do. And the four ministries we have presently, they are tailored in that direction so that somehow you are in touch, you are learning. You may not be actively doing it right now, but one good thing is that you are what? You are learning. Say it with me, I'm learning. Is that okay? So, if you don't want to struggle with your life's mission, what do you need to do? Number one, understand God. Number two, understand His intent. Know God. Number two, understand His intent. Number three, learn His principles. Number four, be committed. Be committed. It means strip yourself of those things that are not in line with where you are going. Now, where you they go, now they determine where you they carry follow body. Now, where you they go, they determine where you they waiting. Waiting, carry follow body. There was a day Miracle wants to go to school. The bag was so big and heavy. I told her, calm down. Why is your bag this big and heavy on Friday? Friday, that school closed by one. He said, sir, I did not collect, copy my timetable. I said, good. Go and drop most of those books and empty the bag and come. So he now went back. So the next day was going. The bag was very light. I said, hope you have copied your timetable. He said, yes. That's direction. I will just pack all the book. Now, you know the load it will be. And the problem is not even the load. The problem is to spoil the bag. And that one even concerns us fast. Abi, after like one time, you come and buy. You'll be buying one bag every time. Praise God. Abi, now that one, the money day for the matter. Bags are expensive. Amen. No, but that's how life becomes. That's why you see some people, they are complaining they don't have money. No, it's not that they don't have money. They are aimless. They have no direction. So everything they collect, their money. No, that's how it works. So if you really want to live a life that is fulfilling, you must be committed to your path. Is this some people tell you, I'm too busy to come to church? No! The real sense is not that they are too busy. The real sense is that they've not set priority. They are not on a mission. Because to be sincere, the people you can easily predict their life are people that are on a mission. You know. Do you understand? You know, you can easily, like some persons, for example, now, you come to the house and then, you can easily predict where I can be. Because, you know, your movements are straight. You know, that it's either you are in office, you are home, or you just throw that to maybe Babuel or something. Do you understand? As in, if you have where you are going, your life becomes easy. But this one where you get dragged here. And, bro, Safa, are you there now? I just they pass. As make I just check. You get one thing when they happen. Bro, so you go just tag along now. Now that tag along take kiss on. Now it's when people take die. Tag me along. You'll come now and say, I'm going. Just tag me. Praise God. And funny enough, you realize that people that are purposeful, they already have plans. That's why sometimes, if I needed to bash into some people's day, like sometimes I'll call Victor. One of the first questions I ask him is, how's your plan for today? Can I take some time from it? You understand? You don't just wake up and anywhere belay face. No. We don't live that way. Praise God. In fact, the kind of friends you keep, you can't just come and see a strange face in the house. You, in your mind, you'll be like, who be this one? You know I will tell you who this person is. Maybe it's my colleague or you've not seen. Because there is a way you live purposefully. Your devotion gives your life predictability. You need to have devotion. Say it with me, I'm devoted. Now, devoted to what this time? Two things. Number one, devoted to your personal ministry. And then number two, devoted to your what? To your career. That's just it. That's why any one of you listening to me right now, following online, present here, I expect that right now there are two devotions in your life. Number one, you are devoted to your personal ministry. And number two, you are devoted to your what? To your career. Praise God. Hallelujah. Number two question now. Why do people find it hard to live their life around their life's mission? In other words, this question is from the second problem now. Why do people struggle to be devoted to their life's mission? Why? Why? In other words, why do people find it hard to have a strong personal ministry with a complementing career? Let me explain the question. Like I said, some people already know their personal ministry. They know that God has called them to help, to intercede. They know that God has helped them, called them to help, to raise teenagers that have passion for virtue. I know of some people, they are so passionate about chastity. And sincerely, they have preserved a number of young people. Praise God. You know, today people feel that, oh, there are no virgins around, as it were. There are some people that all through their life, God has been using them to help preserve young ladies to get married as virgins. Someone was sharing with me an organization that's like that in Edo State. And they're so much passionate about chastity and the rest. So there are people who have discovered what God wants them to do. But the question is, why is it that they now find it hard to make sure their career complements it? Why is it that we have so many cases of people who right now are trapped in the bank hall who are supposed to be providing time for intercession? Like someone shouted me up some time ago. He said, sir, I'm draining. I'm what? I'm draining. In fact, if I don't do something, my whole world will just crumble. Because the person was becoming so choked with work, job now, no time to pray, no time to even go to service. Praise God. No time to do anything relating to personal ministry. So personal ministry was suffering. And let me tell you this. When personal ministry is suffering, you will look like someone that is gasping for air. Because your livelihood is actually from your personal ministry. Like I told you, your career is just a platform. So your career should never become the main. Your career is supposed to complement your personal ministry. Praise God. And you already know that because we are called by Jesus to do His will. So apart from the two major reasons above, those two are part of the reasons. Let me just give you a few reasons so that perhaps it can help some of us, especially those of us that really want to live a life, our life to the fullest. One of the reasons people struggle to complement their career with their personal ministry is the love of this world. Number one, love of this world. People really want to live a worldly life. Like, people want to live their life to get the applause of this world. Praise God. Let me be sincere with you. If you're going to do personal ministry and career, you would compromise certain important things. Like, for example, when I mean compromise, now I'm not talking about compromise in the negative sense. It means that you will not have time for many other things. Let's take, for example, you realize that the phase in your life that God has brought you into, you need to be learning ministry. Like some of you now, you need to be learning ministry. You need to be committed to a particular local church. It means that even when you get an appointment, you don't want the appointment to take you from service. Do you understand? You don't want your commitment to that job to take you from service. And you don't want the commitment from that job to affect your personal disciplines. Time to pray, time to reach out, time to study. So somehow, the kind of job you will be looking for will not be juicy. I'm sure you know that. It will not. You know, like I used to say it then, I said, if not because of money, now make people like us come into lecturing, we are wasting our time. Because those that are doing oil company job in my place, I know how much they are earning. Praise God. Some of them, their 3 months salary cover your 1 year salary. Yeah, and they have so many bonuses that comes with it. Do you understand? So the truth is, if you are going to be doing personal ministry and career, like you really want to give yourself whole scale to career, it will require that you would compromise some of the time you would need for your personal ministry, especially depending on the what? On the faith. Like I had a core member friend then, he served some years after me, and he's actually a pastor. But seriously, like all through the lockdown, they were in Qatar. There are times that, in fact, to even reach him is problem. Sometimes he calls odd hours. So sometimes he will call, he will just be lamenting. He said, man of God, we know we will not do this thing for long. Praise God. You know, that's what I keep saying. He said, imagine, because, you know, during the lockdown, nobody can travel anywhere. He left his wife. He left his newborn baby. Everybody was where? At home. He was in Qatar. Now only call. There are times he will like, sir, this thing is not easy. He said, but we trust God. Do you understand? Sincerely, it's not going to be easy. Now, let me tell you something. For you to fulfill ministry, you need time. For you to fulfill or achieve a good career, you need what? Time. So it will require a high level of what? Discipline. But this discipline, the world we are in, self, not even send us. No, that's the truth. It's only some of us, perhaps, that are working with people who have understanding, or you are working with the government. If you are working with some private organization, they will even require you to come to work on Sunday. Amen. Yes, they will require you to come to work on Sunday. And gradually, like I taught you some time ago, that's the spirit of Babylon. Babylon understands that we have good things in us, and they know that we also need money. And that's why I will show you one of all these challenges we are talking about. They are secondary. There is one that is the real thing. And if you can get that understanding, it will help you for the rest of your life. So, the love for the world. So that's why Jesus told his disciples not to what? Love this world. Please understand this. We are not going to be going into our personal ministry or our career because we want to prove to the world that we are the best according to the world standard. That shouldn't be your motivation. Is that okay? That shouldn't be your motivation. That shouldn't be your motivation. That does not mean that the world will not come and tell you you are the best staff in the office. But you know that's not your motivation. You are at your best. Are you understanding me? We are not in competition with the world, church. No. I'm not competing to be the best in my department. No. It's not in my mind. I'm just doing what I'm what? good out. Let them be the one to judge that. Praise God. Are you here? Praise God. Do you understand? Don't. That's why he was telling you. He said, serve your earthly servant as one that is serving who? God. So it's because of our love for God. That's why we are committed. Not because we want them to give us staff of the week. Most dressed staff of the week. Huh? It's love of the world that causes those things. And that's why many are not complementing their career with their personal ministry. They just want to compete with the world. Praise God. I was yesterday, I was having a kind of joy in my heart. You know, she has been joining us. She has been coming around for a while. He's one of our colleagues in the Polytechnic. So I was just passing, and I know I hear a bit of Yoruba, actually. Praise God. But I give them the impression sometimes that I don't hear at all. So I just saw like my oga in the office and some of the ogas too. They were just somewhere. They were just talking about her so happily that they were using Yoruba. This person, she's so committed. She's so hardworking. There was nothing they were not saying. I just by my mouth like, wow, that's good. Keep it up, man. Praise God. It's a good thing. Praise God. They were so happy. They were just saying it. And sincerely, it's a work ethics. It's not trying to do things so that people will see you. Because most times, even the people that try to do eye service are the lazy person. No, if you've worked in that kind of environment, they're only serious when your guy is around. When your guy is putting eyes on them, they'll just be forming up. That's when they will remember that this stapler is not supposed to be here now. And you've been seeing it since last 2 weeks so when your guy was not around. So it's today that our guy is around that you now see it. So, and that's why if we really want to live the way God wants, we should take our eyes away from the what? What? It's when we now take our eyes away from the what, that's when they will now see our good works. Glory to God. Glory to God. Because it's the one that shines our light. There are times you will be somewhere, they will just call you and say, see, you are the one that must do this thing. We've had testimonies like that. And funny enough, when it's time to go to church, you tell them. You know, that's why I listen to this. You must not love the world. Because I know of some people, because of their love for the world, they can't even tell their boss that, see, sir, there is need for us. We're having a retreat. Please, sir, can you just give me 2 days off? Your boss not go grill, sigh. When he not even give you 2 days off, you no grill work. Now, you always they come late. Now, you be the head of the parole of the office. Tell us, say, this office, we must all not come before 10. By the time you start living your life like that, you struggle to make them understand that you are a man on a what? On a mission. You can't even preach. And it's not going to work that way. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we're not going to love the world. Amen. Hallelujah. And then the second reason why people don't want to compliment their career with their personal ministry, why their personal ministry will just always be relegated, is because of the struggles of life. Number two, the struggles of life. And it's a byproduct of not understanding God. Because if you really understand God, you realize that this life is full of struggles. But like he said to us in Hebrews 13, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So please don't allow the struggles. Right now you can't pay your rent. You can't feed well. And now I'm telling you, you have a personal ministry. You are looking at me, pastor, and a personal ministry person won't show up. Do you understand? It's lack of understanding. Because while I was doing a thought over what I wrote down, I realized that when I had not taken responsibility of my personal ministry, I was struggling financially even more then than now. So the truth is, if you really want to live your life the way God wants it, please understand this. He pays your bills. God is the one that pays your bills. He foots your bills. Listen, in 2021, by the grace of Almighty God, that's the mentality that I want to rub on every one of us. I want us to get to the point where we understand that God is the one that pays our bills. And if you read Matthew chapter 6, he said it. Don't worry of what to eat. Don't worry of what to wear. Don't worry of where to stay. Hallelujah. And that's why, as you begin to understand his principles, you will now know how he actually does that. Because the challenge is that most people agree, yes, truly, God is a provider. But not everybody understands how he what? How he provides. Praise God. So the understanding of how he provides is one of the things that this discussion is aimed at achieving. Praise God. So sometimes the struggles of life, you know, when you are struggling, you leave, for example, some of us that at age 13, our parents left, some people are orphans, they don't have parents, they stayed with auntie. Auntie will need them to work when they are going to school. Don't give them money. So they are just like, when you now come and say you have a life mission to preach with him. Don't they feed? Don't they wear clothes? Do you understand? So it's difficult. And even some people that are adults too. I have people, you talk with them, you notice there is a strong calling in their life. They look at you and say, Pastor Steve, see, you know, we are not like you. We don't make mistakes before. So to even do this thing, where do we want to start? Like I was telling, discussing with someone, he said, sir, I have so much accumulated debts here and there. How will I pay it? But if only they can understand that it is God that meets our needs. Glory to God. That leads me to the next one, number three, the errors and mistakes of their past. The reason why some people don't want to take off their personal ministry is because they are afraid of their past. In your past, you've done a lot of stuff, you've made a lot of mistakes, so you are just scared. Can anything good come out of me? I come to tell you this morning, this afternoon rather, so many good things can come out of you. Forget about the name they labeled you with in the past. Glory to God. You must understand this. When God picks you up and gives you an assignment, he erases your errors. Apostle Paul was a killer. He still went back to those same people he killed. And he preached the word. They even tried to kill him too. But God saved his life. So you must understand that your past is not heavy enough for you not to have a ministry. The number four basic is distractions. Now this is where the real fight is. Distractions. Societal distractions. Personal distractions. Family distractions. Distraction for relationship. For example, you are just 21, 22. You are not planning to get married in the next 5 years. What are you doing with a boyfriend? What are you doing with a girlfriend? It's a distraction. Praise God. Tell neighbor, it's a distraction. It is. That's what's affecting most young people today. You see an ND1 student is already having a boyfriend. And when you interact with her, that's even the fifth. So where you take that? And that's in a load. You know this thing called emotion. Emotion in itself gets its own load. You not carry another person's emotion join. That you have been telling I love you for weeks now and it's finding it difficult to believe. And if you love me, kiss me. If you know, you have been saying this thing since. If you know you love me, come to my house. Let's get down into this thing. And you, with two eyes open, you go down. 2 weeks later, you're not checked on his phone. He has done that to like three other guests. And you are not crying. He has broken my heart. I will not break your heart. Did you even know the value of your heart in the first place? If you know the value of your heart, you will know that it's only your husband that is worthy for you to get down with. Distraction. So, this is the challenge. So people, they wake up at night to pray. They can't pray because they are all consumed with an emotional feeling. In fact, some of them can't even wake up at night to pray. They may not be around a level they take finish the sex chat. When they finish and they sleep, they don't feel pray again. And how do you power your spiritual ministry? Without prayers. So that's the reason. So you now see them, when a job comes, that will take away their time from local church, from Isaiah, this one said, who's side? Let's go there, just do the job. Brother, I make her come. You've not been coming to church. Ah, sir, work has just been so demanding this period. Sister Funke, we've not been seeing you inside. You see that work, stressful. And then when you look at them, look at the work, self, you realize that even you, when get demand for your work, still they make time. But the work is not the work. The work is that they are distracted. That's the challenge. I want to challenge every one of you listening to me. See, there is a time for everything. Why would you use the first 22 years of your life to corrupt the remaining 62 years of your life? My stand, that's my stand. Don't be in a relationship if you are not ready to marry. Don't come and introduce any girl to me. I will flog you. Send you out of this place. Even the one when I finish NYC, 1 year, 2 years, said they never bring. You went there and the one. Writing jam, you are coming to meet me and introduce a sister. You know, even if you try him, you don't get the boldness. Bring her, make I see now. I will ask you one question. When I apply to marry in 2 years' time, how much you even get for your account, self? The ones who are busy, don't even they touch small money, self. They will they beg them, may they go marry. You and your father still they give school fee. Your father still they buy textbook. You don't get, you are telling me you say, I get rid of distractions. If you are in any, go and end it. Are you hearing me? Tell him I'm not doing again. If he asks you, why are you not doing? Tell him I'm not ready for marriage. You don't want to talk, Abby. See, I almost destroyed my life. Oh, I was thinking about it this morning. Most destroyed my life. It was one sister that was running after me with everything she has. I could not withstand it. I said, okay, let's start the thing. For 3 years, my life was in darkness. I can't pray. I wake up at night like this. Now, face at the sea. It's a bit now because I didn't talk my own. You know how this thing be now? How they pretend as if you don't know? Your body goes just, they do you jeering, jeering. Wait till you want to, you not go fit one. You are dying in the relationship. You will not control yourself. Control the self. Control the self. Someday you just freestyle. Let's kiss this kiss, yo. We're not going to die. You kiss the kiss, finish. For 3 weeks, you are struggling to study Matthew 5. You now manage. Pastor, preach. We pray. You know, sometimes we'll come to church, hold hands and pray. Now, those kind of people, we want me to edify. They need to return back. And not manage. Just try. The thing, the fire can't come. After like 2-3 nights again, the thing, the brother will just stress you again. The urge will come again. Ah, Jesus. Praise God. No, you are spiritual people. You can't. Why are you wasting your life? Tell him you are not doing and let your eye be single. Huh? When it's time for marriage, your husband will come. He will have everything. All the testing you want, you test it in the room. You can even go for 7 days fasting and prayers. And that, you know the kind of fasting and prayers that I'm talking about. Lock yourself. You want, do anything you want. Why will you not waste your life? After he has finished everything, sample you finish, he will not come and tell you, you see, sister, you know, it's not that you are not marriageable. It's not that you are not nice. It's not that I don't love you, but you see, I just have to move on. Move on, Move on to the rational side. He abandoned you, stab your ass, scatter it. Because you refuse to follow instruction. What are you doing with a guy 5 years, 7 years? Primary school. So people start their own for primary school. Praise God. They don't know anything. Follow instruction, they will not follow. The world they're on is already distracted. Please don't add your own to it. If you are not ready to carry the weight, abandon it. Focus on your life. And but sir, you know, I'm a lady now. I have to prepare for marriage. Go and meet your female mentor. They will prepare you for marriage. See, I hear you. Praise God. Distractions. Some of them is friends. Like I said yesterday, God puts solitary in family. That's why in KDC, by the grace of God, when we see our students in any need, we don't close our eyes to it. Praise God. No, we don't. If it's money, is this on sister? I'll tell you, sir, is it? I know money. You are lazy. It's not money. My wife was sharing with me about someone over the week. It's not money. Some people, it's not money. It's just juvenile delinquency. The thing is just burning in their body. I don't know what they are looking for. If it is money, do you know the number of people we cry to for help when we are growing up? Do you know the number of cars we wash to make money? You say it's money. Go and learn hair making. You refuse. You are waiting for one brother or one boy that will be sending you 20,000 every week. Because relationship has become ATM machine. Our young ladies and young men, you need to sit down and tell yourself, see, there is time for what? There is time for everything. When it is time for you to enjoy marriage, God will bring a wife. In fact, she might even come having a job on her own. She will be helping you sometimes to recharge your phone. Praise God. My wife helped me to recharge my phone sometimes. Amen. Uh-huh. Praise God. That one is legal. I can borrow money from her and pay her when we appear in heaven. It's my wife. Praise God. Amen. Yes. She will not come tomorrow and say, you use me and dump me. You see all those guys that are giving you money. Tell them you are not doing. They will put you on Facebook. Say, she has used me to pay school fees. She has dumped me. Because no legal agreement. Wait and marry. All the money I'm owing her, we pay her in heaven. Amen. Praise God. You can't beat me for it. Praise God. We are joined together forever and ever. She's hearing me. Praise God. Uh-huh. It's time for everything. Glory to God. Focus. Tell your neighbor, focus. And you know what? Another problem with those distractions is that it will not even allow you to develop yourself. Because not only go they tell you, say you are this, you are that. Now lie, now your body, they see. No, they see anything. That's why they made a statement that love is blind. Marriage is the eye opener. That he's not seeing anything. He's not seeing. It's just what he can get is seeing. It's one day after you are separated, he's in Lagos, you are in Ofa. That's when we start seeing other guests. You now start doing comparing and what? Contrasting. That's the day you now start complaining. You are not tall enough. You are not fair enough. Now lie. Don't see another person where better pass you. The time when you're supposed to prepare yourself to be fair enough, you are dying. You are dying with him. Now he has started seeing person that is better than you. And you know why your own is or your? You don't join with him. And you know funny part, he will dump you one day. Tell neighbor, give your time to become well enough. Train yourself. So that when he comes, he will go any length to want to make you a wife. Amen. Say, I'm instructed. So give yourself to life, personal ministry. Number 5, satanic interference. People get affected by relationships that they get into or demonic involvement. Satan really don't want us to leave our purpose out. But that's the truth. He doesn't want us. And then he interferes in so many ways. So if you are having any challenge, maybe you dream and you always see things not working. You always a particular dream, involvement. You always eat in the dream, do some things in the dream. You always dream. You see yourself having sex in the dream. Always running and you are not moving. Always doing some things that are not right. Please, come and meet your pastors for counseling. So that we can end the activities of what? Satan in your life. Praise God. Hallelujah. It must be attended to. Don't just say, it's because I watched one horror film. See, we don't watch horror film. I still they watch. You know, near I make one show for my dream. Praise God. What day now? I like horror film, yes. I would like now, because I watch horror film, I will not dream. I will not see one snake. It's coming into my truth. No. It's not possible. Praise God. There is a partition. Praise God. We watch films. Normal. Though we are careful, some we don't. Once the spirit is not agreeing, we just turn it off. But that you are always dreaming. The snake you are seeing. You are always seeing one thing. Seeing yourself somewhere there. This, that. Seek for help. It might be a satanic what? Interference. And let me tell you this. Every interference of the devil is so that you don't fulfill mission. No, that's all he's after. He's there now, John 10 verse 10. He doesn't want you to access abundance. He doesn't want you to fulfill purpose. That's just it. And sometimes that interference can always be very higher when you are at crossroads. When you want to make major decisions. Like for example, you are getting set to go into a relationship and there is a brother, you are praying and the thing is just blurring your vision. He's Satan. He just wants you to make mistakes. So seek for help. Seek for counsel. Is that okay? So that you can be completely free by exercising your in Christ realities. And then, this one is also very important. Number 6. And that's the last I wrote down. Lack of commitment to either personal or corporate accountability or mentorship system. Lack of commitment to either a personal or corporate accountability or mentorship system. Praise God. For your personal ministry, you need accountability. For your career, you need mentorship. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lack of what? Commitment to personal or corporate what? Accountability or mentorship system. Are you here? it is important that we embrace the principle of God for the accomplishment of our life's mission. The number one principle of God for fulfilling your life mission is follow me and I will make you. So it is important as believers that we embrace the principle of accountability. One of the reasons so many people have made mistakes is because there is no voice in their life. Seriously, I thank God for how he helped me. I've always been this kind of person that my voice has a way of speaking. God has a way of helping me. And that's how it has helped me from making certain mistakes. But I cannot believe that that's how it is for everybody. I know of some people, even before they got to ND1, they have done 2-3 abortions. Yes. Because somehow they live a life without anybody putting bombs on them. So you must know this. Jesus called the disciples. He told them, follow me and I will make you. So listen to this. In personal ministry, there is a place of training. There is a place of accountability. Please don't live a life that is too free. Freedom in itself, it must be regulated. So one of the reasons people don't blend their ministry with their career, they are not able to make right decisions. They don't have any influence in their life. Number one, they don't have a spiritual accountability influence. And then number two, they don't have mentorship. You must understand this, that God's house is a place for you to learn spiritual ministry. Praise God. For example, I can only be an influence to your spiritual life. I can't be an influence to your NGO development. Praise God. That's the place of mentorship. Amen. Mentorship. And that's where many of us makes mistakes. So that's why, that's the heart of our discussion today. How do we attain effectiveness in our career? Vis-a-vis, how do we develop ourselves along the path of our career so that, number one, we are able to solve problems, and then number two, we are able to offer values, and then number three, we are able to get income. So with that, we'll go to the second part of today's discussion. Finance.